Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 6 o'clock on November 15th, 2021, and this is the Town of Curry Beach regular town council meeting. Is that all right, Mandy?
Yes.
All right. We had a call to order. John, can you help us with the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance?
Join me in prayer. Holy One, known by many names and beyond all names, Spirit of Light, Spirit of Love, Spirit of Community, Spirit of Justice, we ask your blessings on the people who have been called to lead and serve the community in which we live and work and play. Help us as leaders to not ask first, how do we fix this, but what do we need to learn? How might we need to change? And to whom do we need to listen? Remind us, because we all forget from time to time, especially in the noisiness of what passes for political debate today, that we are not only leaders, but also servants, and that it is our responsibility to serve the common good of all. Grant us the wisdom and courage to know and do what is right and good and true. May we speak out when it is time to speak out, and listen patiently and receptively when it is time to listen. May we always be guided by the spirit of community, the spirit of justice, the spirit of love. This we pray in the name of all that we hold sacred and holy, and that we hold good and right and true. Amen.
Amen. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, gentlemen, would you scan the consent agenda items, please?
First, Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we excuse Commissioner Hager.
That's exactly correct. Commissioner Hager could not make it tonight. He's out of town on business. So thank you, John. We do need to do that before we proceed.
Second the motion.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. Take a look at the approval of the consent agenda items. Tell me if these are acceptable to you or if there are any changes required or movements necessary for discussion.
Mr. Mayor, if nobody has any objections, I'll make a motion we accept the consent agenda items as presented.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the consent agenda stands as offered. The adoption of the regular agenda. Please review the old business and the new business and tell me if there's anything to be added or changed.
I have nothing.
You have a motion?
If there are no additions, deletions by the other two gentlemen, I will make a motion that we accept the, or that we adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Moving along then to public comment. Do we have anybody signed up for public comment this evening?
We do not.
We do not.
Is anybody on the phone?
We have one person on the phone.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone who has not signed up for public comment that wishes to have a public comment? Okay. We'll move on. Presentations. Our first presentation this evening is Bernard Robinson and Company, Mr. Victor Blackburn, who is the chief auditor.
Some people question that, but
yeah, right.
I just work for my employees. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here again this year, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with everyone tonight. Arlen has prepared a short presentation that you hopefully you can see on my big head. to get to it. So there's just kind of a summary of the audit. There was new requirement under the North Carolina Administrative Code this year. There's, as part of the audit, there's a spreadsheet that we have to fill out and submit with your audit report to the state. So as part of that spreadsheet, it gives a lot of the financial information, summarizes a lot of financial statements that's actually in the audited financial statements. And this year, as part of that, the spreadsheet that they have an extra tab that was associated with it, and it generated a lot of financial data, summarized a lot of ratios, financial ratios and stuff. And as part of that, it compared it to similar size organizations in the state of North Carolina. And if there was anything that came or was out of whack, it would notify us, as well as management of the town, that there's some irregular ratios or numbers that the town management need to address. In the past, what would happen is we would send this in, and the state of North Carolina, the local government commission, would review it. And then if there was anything unusual, they would actually send you a letter, as well as the town management a letter, for you to address. Well, this year, instead of them doing that and sending the letter, they added this tab, and if there was anything, we had to upload a response at that time. So as part of this year, when we're going through there, that tab, there was nothing that came up that required us or management to address that. But some of the other things that they required us to do is they actually require us to do a face-to-face presentation. So some auditors were not having any opportunity to speak with the town management or the board, the governing board. Mm-hmm. So as part of the acceptance of the audit, we had to put in a date and a time of when we're actually having this meeting. So that's some of the new changes that were required as part of the new auditing standards for the state of North Carolina. So we talked about the performance indicators as one of the tabs and stuff. And again, if there was anything, as part of the audit, our professional standards, if there's anything that came up at with the town's internal controls in the design or the operations of those controls that was defined as a significant deficiency or material weaknesses, we're required by professional standards to put that in writing to you. So you have the audit package, so the lack of that letter will let you know that nothing came to our attention in the way that the internal controls are designed for the town or the operations of those internal controls meet either of these definitions. And also, if there were, again, we had to let the state know, and the town would have to say, what are you going to do to fix these deficiencies and stuff?
So, sure.
Again, the lack of that letter lets you know that nothing came to our attention.
Okay.
We talked about in the past the audit opinion. You received an unmodified opinion. That's a clean opinion, and that's what you always receive. And then that, again, what we talked about is there are no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses in the internal controls, nor were they anything that was define as any issues that we had to report to you, so that there were non-compliance with laws or regulations and things that are associated with the financial aspect of the town that the state has put out, certain things like bidding requirements or authorization of transactions and things. So none of those issues arise during our audit that we need to report to.
Okay.
As part of the performance, they look at the general fund and they also look at the enterprise funds. But the general fund is the important thing about the general fund performance indicators is what we talked about in the past. And we'll get into some graphs showing what those are, but it's the unassigned fund balance, because what's important about the unassigned fund balance is that's what you can use as a town to balance your budget. And you're required to have a balanced budget under state statute. And it, you know, if there's some reason that you have to spend more money than the actual revenues coming in, that's where you will balance that budget, is from your unassigned. And, you know, there's certain amounts that they want, and I think there's some screenshots of the available fund balance, but there's a certain amount, and most of the time the state would want you to have about 2 months of reserve of your general fund expenditures in there. And I think we have a slide showing the calculation is that, you know, and this is for municipalities with between $1 million and $10 million, and that's a quite big range. But you can see that you have 92.6%, and that basically you almost, you know, you have a little over 11 months. So again, if you're thinking about the state, you have somewhere around 2 months, you have a good, you know, good sound financial reserve available. And you can see from, you know, over the last 3 years, it's going up from 69% to 77% last year and up to 92% this year. And there's a lot of things that factor into that. Some of it is state statute reserves and stuff that we talked about in the past. And that, what that is the money that's set aside. And it's really your receivables that are not collected by the town, because they're not going to allow you to appropriate those funds until you actually have cash in hand. So you have to set that aside. So depending on when you have grant expenditures, or at least some, you might have some large expenditures due to grant that don't get reimbursed by the county or the state or federal government in a timely manner, that could impact some of those calculations here. But I think that one of the other aspects of why it went from 77% to 92%, you know, good thing, bad thing, some of this is COVID driven. If you can see, a lot of the beach communities in North Carolina have benefited from the COVID travel restrictions and things, that people aren't going, leaving the state of North Carolina. They're actually coming to their home state beaches, spending a lot of time here, spending a lot of money here within the communities of North Carolina. And you can see that, you know, your general fund revenues have profited from that additional number of people coming to Curry Beach. And we talk about the water and sewer fund. There's a quick ratio. Quick ratio is basically talking about the liquidity of the fund. It's basically how much liquid assets do you have to cover your current liabilities of the town. So if you had a negative, if your liability is more than your liquid assets, that is, you know, that's the less than one ratio, and that could be a sign of financial distress for town. But you can see, I think, here is that, you know, your quick ratio is 6.4. You know, it's down from 7.5 in 2019, but it's up from 6.2. And again, some of this could be your receivables, as well as maybe some grant expenditures or capital project expenditures for new sewer lines or water lines that can impact this. But again, you know, what they're saying is they'd like to have somewhere around a 1-to-1 ratio, but you're 6-to-1 ratio. So again, that tells you how financially sound you are. And you can see that, you know, we had almost 275,000 in 2019, going up to 285,000. And it's 352,000. Now again, it's a combination of this. You got more people coming into the area, they're going to be using a lot more water, a lot more sewer. So you got your additional charges there, as well as some benefit of some rate adjustments that you implemented over the past couple of years. And you can see that last one is the unrestricted cash to total expenses is, you know, again, you know, they want it to be greater than 16%, which is about 2 months, and you're sitting at, you know, 133%. So say, again, it positive numbers across the board financially. And we got, here's the breakdown of the total net position for the town of Curry Beach, and you got for BMI or being rolled somewhere. So the burgundy color is the governmental funds, as well as the blue color is the business type activities. And you can see that it's grown over the last 7 years, but it's fairly, the ratio between the two is fairly the same. But again, you know, you got over $18 million in total net position, which is, you know, some of that is your, what you call the capital assets. Mm-hmm. As well as this reserved by state statutes and the unassigned or the available fund balances for each of those. Okay. This is more of a detailed breakdown of the governmental activities. As we can see, that the green number is your unrestricted, where the burgundy number is your restricted, and the blue number is your, should be your guess. That's your invested in capital assets. As you can see, your governmental activities, majority of your assets are the property, the town hall here, the fire stations, the police, you know, all the vehicles and everything. That's what, that's common for municipalities, where a lot of your investments are in the physical assets of the town. Where the burgundy number is, that's primarily that state statute calculation is what we're talking about. And again, you can see that green number is what you can assign as part of your fund balance budgetary processes. And again, you can see that number is growing over the last 3 years. Okay. And then this is the business type activities, and similar to the governmental, that burgundy number is your capital assets, and that's your water and sewer lines, as well as your treatment facilities and all that. And the green is your unrestricted, and again, you can see that the green has, you know, grown over here, and that's all positive trends that you want to see. Okay. And this is a breakdown of the governmental funds. This is pretty much everything in more detail. What I wanted to point out to you is you can see the bottom four numbers are your restricted, which is restricted for capital projects, restricted for your federal asset forfeitures, your state statutes, and streets. These are all required by the state that you got to set aside money. That this is money that you have on hand that you have to set aside, and you can't use it until you actually spend it for like a federal asset forfeitures. There's certain expenditures you're allowed to use that for. The streets or your power bill that you can only use for repaving the streets or new streets. And that state statute is kind of what we talk about. But, you know, you see the number at the top is your unassigned, but the two numbers underneath it, the assigned for the beach protection as well as the stormwater, these are monies that you've set aside as a council to say, we want to reserve some of our unassigned in case we need it. So if there's a major hurricane that washes a lot of sand away from the beach, this is money that you set aside that can be used to replenish the beaches here. And it's not required, but that's something that you've done to say, look, we're doing this for our citizens. We want to set this money aside for this unusual situations, because we know it's more likely going to happen. And in the past, you were getting state money to help you pay for this, but that money's gone now. So now you have to, you know, you're having to use your own money for a lot of that stuff. And this is kind of a governmental fund budget versus actual. And again, what we're talking about, the first column is your final budget, and it has to be a balanced budget. But you can see there you have about $6.2 million of revenues that you had budgeted that coming in, and you can see that you had about, I think it's $6.8 million actually come in. So you brought in more money than what you budgeted. Your expenditures were about 6.7. Again, you only spent about, you know, about $5.8 million. So again, you were able to save money because you didn't spend everything that you were planning to spend for one reason or another. The important thing there is you see on your budget, what we talked about earlier is under the budget, your revenues were less than your expenditures, and you were actually having to use, you know, some money mm-hmm. from somewhere else to kind of cover that shortfall. Whereas the actual amounts is you had a little over $1 million, which is, you know, about a $1.5 million swing between what you plan under the budget versus the actual. And you know, again, it's just a strong year. And this is the water and sewer results. Operating income by $420,000. Some non-operating revenues and expenses, primarily your interest expense on the debt, still come up a little over $400,000 in positive change in the net position for the water and sewer fund. Okay. Is there any questions that I could address at this time?
I guess as I read through the report, which is quite a bit lengthier than this, obviously, and a whole pile of things that you would need to explain to me, actually, in some level of detail, or Arlen. But the summary indicates to me that the town is getting stronger, and financially we are exceeding the requirements, basically.
Yes.
So I'm not saying, you know, how are we doing against other towns or anything, but it appears to me that we look like we're in a very strong position, and I'd like these people understand that.
Yeah, so. I mean, you did it, and actually, you know, this part of this ratio calculation that the spreadsheet that we do, it does compare you to similar towns.
Okay.
So it looks at you, but it also looks at your peers.
Yeah.
And if there was anything outlined in either of those, then they're going to ask you, like, you know, what's going on?
Okay.
So again, you're as you compare to your peers, you are better than what the peer group you are with, based off of that, what the spreadsheet is telling us.
Okay. I appreciate your work. You've audited us for several years. Arlen, thank you for your support as the head of finance. You're leading us well. And department heads, live into your budgets. Thank you. And council, I guess we haven't spent too much money, so there we go. It seems to all work. So thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. At this point, we have some recognition scheduled for Mr. Mike Bledsoe, but I don't know that he's here. Well, what I would do then is I am going to give this to Mr. Dennis Panicali. And if you don't know this gentleman, has spent quite a few years leading our beach group, keeping the beach clean, keeping volunteers out there. So, and Mike has been an incredible part of that journey, and particularly when it comes to sea oats and the protection that we received for our doings. So we've survived quite a few storms since you've been on board, and since Mike, right? So if we would give this to Mike with our gratitude, please.
I will be glad to.
Appreciate it. And thank you for all you and the committee are doing for our beaches.
All right, thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to committee business. Bike Ped Committee.
All right.
Alan?
Okay. Mr. Mayor, Council, you have in your packet a letter from the WNPO. It's actually the award letter for our, and y'all know how I love acronyms, the CRRSAA, the Coronavirus Response and Recovery Supplemental Appropriations Act of 2021. That's a mouthful. We had the district had, or the planning area had about $1.4 million, almost $1.5 million. We requested $411,620. We were awarded $359,559 for interchange improvements at Fort Fisher and K Avenue. And just an update, Mandy and I have a phone call next Monday with the WNPO staff and to talk about what our next steps are. So more than likely it'll be the January meeting. We have to come in with some recommendations. I know one is to hire an engineering firm to actually design the work and come up with the construction documents and all that stuff. So we'll get all the details on what we have to do and come back to council for their input and approval. So.
I want to thank you and the Bike Ped Committee for bringing this to our attention and for allowing us to put together what needed to be done. And John, I want to thank you as our member on the the MPO to make sure that it got through. So the town has received $394,000. It's $369. Okay, I'm a politician. What do you say? So the town is receiving that money. There is no assignment required to that money. We may add to that money from our general fund, which you saw is in good condition, if we think the design is accurate and complete and gives us what we want that downtown to look like, with sidewalks, ADA improvements.
Yeah, and if I can say, we've got plenty of time to discuss this going through the budget process, because at best, this work will be done this time next year.
Yeah.
As we all know, transportation projects take a while. But,
right.
But, and with the summer season, we wouldn't want to do it then. So it's a really good project, and we're appreciative of WNPO funding.
Matter of fact, John, wasn't that the largest award?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else on Bike Ped?
I have one other thing,
right,
Mayor. We, as you know, were funded for a Bike Ped master plan by the WNPO. At no cost to us, another project, no cost to us. We have some stuff going on this with the fall, or for the Christmas or a holiday market. We're going to do two public outreach. We'll have a booth at the holiday market. The committee will on the 20th and the 27th, handing out information. I've got these flyers for y'all. I want to keep passing them down, Joe. It's got a QR code on it. It takes you right to an interactive map, and that will take you to how you can comment on anything you would like to see as a citizen. And then we'll be doing that public outreach. And then on the 23rd, on the 30th of November, we have a charrette, and that's a meeting. That's a fancy word for a meeting. At the community center from 5:30 to 7 for people to come in and give us their input and comments on what they would like to see or what's important to them. And then also on December 2nd, we'll have, the focus will be on the ideas and the solutions to the key items. So Sean and Nikki through the rec department is the town coordinators on this thing. They're taking it on, and the committee's running the public outreach at the holiday market. So please come out and support that. And then we have some other meetings. And then it's a pretty fast turnaround. They're coming into town. They're doing it. I think one day Sean and I are going out, maybe Nikki, I think maybe we're going to go out and look at some problem areas in town and just look at, right around town and golf cart and try to come up with some ideas. So
okay.
Looks like this is going to be good. It's going to take in not only bicycle safety, but also pedestrian safety of getting people across the road. We might need to change, might be some recommendations to change up some crosswalks and that type of thing.
Okay. It's a good deal.
Yeah.
Mandy, is this on our website?
It will be.
It will be, so anybody in here can then reach
yeah.
it. Okay. Excellent.
That's
good
all
work.
I have, sir.
Community Center Committee. The Community Center Committee has met, did meet again this month, and they are working on a variety of things for winter time entertainment. Nikki might have to help me with some of these things, but one of them is showing old films at the community center for the community during the winter, complete with popcorn and other items, which that will be advertised, and that can be a fun evening, fun weekend evening. What are some of the other things, Nikki, do you recall them?
Most of it was focused around like plans for the 75th anniversary.
Right.
Potentially a sock hop with like music from the 40s and the old movies, and possibly incorporating the local school kids to do an artwork essay project about maybe what Cherry Beach might look like in 75 years in the future, or you know, just some different fun mm-hmm. ideas, some historical displays and discussions, and yeah, I think,
okay.
I think that about sums
all right. The community center does get rented out for a variety of things, weddings, wedding receptions, and it's a very useful building, so if you have anybody interested in a very good deal for a very nice building, just recommend the community center if you would. Historical Preservation Commission. Joseph.
We are fully, our membership is full now. We have our extra, what do you call it? Not extra, what is it, Mandy?
Alternate.
Sorry. And in January, we will do the Council of Government training with Wes, which I do believe Council should show up for. That
quasi-judicial.
I'm forgetting everything tonight. The quasi-judicial training. And then in February, we will do a mock quasi-judicial trial or hearing, whatever the right word may be, so that we can go through the process. Because again, the Historical Preservation Committee may not do anything unless something comes before them. This is to get everybody trained and ramped up in case something does come forward. And then we'll also have our public hearing, or no, public meeting, right, in February, first one?
For what?
Historical Preservation. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're
I thought
about
land use plan.
Like,
I'm getting my committees mixed up, sorry. Yeah, no, never mind. That's
the
it for the Historical
thing,
Preservation
yeah,
Committee.
Well, then why don't we move right into the land use plan?
Land use plan, December, we will meet again and go over chapters 4 and finish that up. And then in February, we will have our first public meeting about where we are so far in the land use plan process. We're still perfectly on time to have everything done by the state mandated June 30th. And the Council of Government will lead that in February for us.
Okay.
Councilman, I should have it in my calendar, but can you remind me, can Beth remind me when the LUPC meets?
Beth probably has that because obviously I can't remember anything this evening.
December the 14th.
December the 14th.
12-14.
Thank you. It's like 5:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, 5:30 in the afternoon.
Thank you.
Which is, Tuesday.
Okay. Is that it for land use?
That's it for land use.
All right.
We have a February date for the public meeting?
We do not have it yet. We may discuss that as soon.
Yeah, we'll set that in December.
Okay.
So we can advertise and get it out there.
I will say that, getting back to, HPC, I should have mentioned it then, the mock COA hearing is going to be pretty entertaining, but also very instructive if council would like to attend as members of the audience, but it's going to be a lot of fun, I guarantee you that.
We should attend because we could use that training.
It'll be very instructive, but it's going to be fun, too.
I've been through one, and I learned a lot.
Yes.
Okay, John, Marketing Committee?
We did have a meeting
time to get to know each other. We haven't met in a year and a half. But there's nothing to really pass on. We're kind of getting started again, cranking up, laying out some goals and things we want to start looking at.
I guess on the December 7th or 8th, we'll be having a meeting with the CVB, Consumer Visitors Bureau, to go over what our thoughts are on that as well. So, parking committee. Okay, parking update. Well, we closed parking. We closed parking at the end of September. Our grand total revenue, $741,877. There may be some other things coming in. Our grand total expenses, $195,996. That included all of the startup expenses. The machines we did have to buy, so we had some machine alternatives. All the signs that you saw, painting, posting, and a variety of things. Next year, we would expect the expenses to be less. But the net for the town on our first year experiment is $546,000. So I think that was worthwhile. And now your next question is, what do we do with that money? That money goes into the general fund, and it will be handled in the regular budgeting process. Meaning when we have our budget meetings starting in February, everybody is welcome to come in and listen to what we would like to do, to listen to what the department heads would like to do and what they need, and we'll be making decisions then on where we'll be committing our cash. Planning and Zoning Commission. You're on the board again, Joseph.
Really? We are going to interview Byron tonight for our alternate position for Planning and Zoning.
Oh, that's true.
Planning and Zoning really has nothing going on right now. There's a gym, nothing.
Right.
Now, we got an email from Chairman Galbraith this afternoon. He's in Detroit, but there isn't anything on the stove right now.
Right.
There will be.
Okay.
Coming up probably. We're going to take December and start gearing into different things that you'll end up getting in the early part of the new year.
Okay. So that is Mr. Ashbridge. Please come to the podium.
Spotlight on you now.
Yeah, I got it. Well, based on your application, though, I don't think that bothers you too much.
Yeah.
Right? So I hope all of you had the opportunity to read his application. Very impressive career you've had.
Thank you.
From my perspective, I really have no particular questions. Your experience as a CEO, your experience on some boards, your experience in other areas, your desire to help your community now that you have some free time, sounds a lot like the rest of the guys are sitting up here. In any case, does anybody have any specific question for Mr. Ashbridge? Or did we waste his time tonight?
I do not. I think he's a great candidate, so.
I'm gonna play David Hagler here, so make sure you understand the time commitment and the so we got it on the record to say you understand the time commitment and it does have meetings and that type of thing. We just always like to hear the person say they understand that.
Yeah, I completely understand that.
And guys, I have no problem. I think a little bit I've known Byron, he's wants to give back to the community and was looking for the right fit to get involved, mm-hmm. and I think this is a good fit for him. And he's got a little bit of banking background too, and before he became a CEO.
But we will not hold that against him.
We're not going to hold that against him.
So
I have no other questions.
No other questions. Well, we have a candidate before us who's been recommended by the Planning and Zoning Board.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion we accept him as an alternate member.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time and your commitment.
Appreciate that.
Shoreline Access. Anything, Dennis? It's kind of winter time. I don't know.
Yeah, not too much going on right now. I think we lost a couple of signs and some sand recently, yeah. But other than that, not too much else going on.
I guess the good news there is we will be getting sand this year. So that is the good news. Stormwater Committee, David is not here. I don't know if you have any inputs, Jimmy.
No, sir. We did not get the chance to meet last month, but I think our next meeting is coming up next Monday.
It's so, Monday at 5:30.
So, we're still kind of waiting the fly pattern from the state to see if our stormwater management plan is good to go or whatever. But as far as the Stormwater Committee, we don't have nothing tonight.
Okay. I did note that in that stormwater representation on the audit, the $2 million or so that we had spent in the last 2 years for stormwater, but it still came out very positive. I'm impressed. Okay, let's move on to department head business. Administration. What do you got, Mandy?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I'm asking again for permission to apply for the BRIC grant. We applied in 2020. We ranked pretty high, but we didn't quite get there for our stormwater infiltration projects. This year, I've been still working with LDSI, who is now GPI. They've merged, so still with Jonathan. I spoke to Jonathan and asked him to send me a quote on the fee for helping through the grant process with this study and everything that they've done for us. And it was a $2,000 fee. Last year we were in the throes of the study and we had so much going on with them. I don't recall having a separate invoice. I went back and looked, at our billing and I didn't get a separate invoice. And so basically I need permission from council to proceed with the grant application and permission to work with Jonathan and GBI.
What's the available money, do you know?
There is like $1.something billion.
Oh, so there's room. Okay. Okay. Should be a pretty open event. So Mandy's looking for permission to go after the BRIC grant. Any questions for her? I mean, we did this last year.
Mm-hmm. I think the money to spend with LDSI or whatever they need would be well spent to try to get this grant for what we would get back in return for it.
Yes.
I got a question.
Yes, Counselor.
Are we talking about entering into an agreement with an engineering firm?
We already have an agreement with this engineering firm.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, LDSI has done a variety of contracts for us.
All in stormwater.
Yeah, all in stormwater. But we shouldn't show you that, Jim.
I just want you to remember, and it doesn't sound like it's an issue in this case because we have an ongoing agreement and course of dealing. Architects, engineers, surveyors, very specific procurement requirements that you can easily avoid by exempting the contract if it's below, I think, $50,000, but it's a step that has to occur.
Okay.
Okay. I actually have a quote from them for this $2,000, and I can send it to you for your review.
If you want to be on the safe side, just entertain a motion to exempt that particular contract from the Miller Brooks Act's requirements, and you'll be good to go.
Okay.
So.
Let's approve this with the motion.
You'd want to entertain a motion exempting this current LDSI contract from the Minnie Brooks Act's requirements.
Yes. Could you record it as Jim said it? He's our attorney. He said
and
it better than we
will. I'll make that motion as in reference to.
I'll second that motion.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And that's all.
All right. Building Inspections Department.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Good evening, John.
You should have a memo from me updated on 11/12, and it's regarding 205 Alabama Avenue.
Yes.
I believe you all are familiar with that address and hearing about it over the years. So at this point, we followed the general statutes and internal ordinances regarding minimum housing. We've heard nothing from the property owner after numerous attempts to contact him spanning over 2 years, including registered mail, phone calls, and publications in our local newspapers. The building is basically in a terrible condition. It is overrun with rodents. Last time we were in there, we walked out with fleas. All the windows and the doors are busted.
John, as I understand it, this gentleman, I mean, we, even the tax records that show the addresses that we have sent to the multiple addresses, we have gotten no response on the certified letters.
No response.
This saga is longer than 2 years old.
Yes, sir.
John, have you sent us the pictures or sent us the note and the information about it and the pictures from inside and looking at all the things that need to be done?
Yes, sir.
Do you think that would qualify as a, I think it would save the town a little money if we had some free help. Could that be an Eagle Scout project to help you get that?
Not without some liability.
Yeah, that's a person to do what? I've been inside that house. It's not a good place.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like your idea, but I'm not so sure.
Well, all the windows are gone. Yeah. All the windows are gone, too.
Windows are broken. Yeah. Doors are jar, not lockable. So you can see what I'm planning on doing. I'll put it in the memo there. It's an abandoned vehicle outside that I like to have towed, which their windows are also broken. Tires are flat. Registration's expired. I want to come back all the way up around vegetation, grass, and start maintaining on a regular basis. Board up and secure all windows and doors. And there's a shed in the backyard that's basically falling down. I'd like to go ahead and renew that also. Somebody has dumped some furniture on site. It's just generally in a bad shape. So I want to clean it up and I want to keep it that way.
Who owns the vehicle, John?
Same guy.
Same guy. And we'll place a lien on all this as we expend?
Yes, sir.
That's correct. All the cleanup costs will be a lien on the property. This has a long history to it, but we're also dealing with statutes and KBC provisions, which are very detailed procedurally, outline exactly what you can and cannot do, cover the instances where we've not been able to contact the owner, and John's gone strictly by the book. So the ordinance that's in front of you recites all that, covers all that, and authorizes building inspections to do what it can do now. And we may revisit this thing under it, given a year's wait, once John has cleaned up the property.
So if nothing happens in a year, I'll be coming back to you guys asking for permission to
knock it down. Yeah. Do we go to Social Security or see if this individual has a Social Security number? Or I mean, this guy, it's been impossible to locate him in 5 years.
I've called the Hamilton County Tax several times and asked about the status of the tax bill. It gets paid every year.
It gets paid. They just don't know where paid. From.
I've asked them to flag the property and please let me know as soon as they receive payment. I haven't heard anything. I don't really know what to do with this.
I think the key thing is for us to clean it up and then if they do, and this might be a question for our attorney, Jim, if they don't pay the taxes, and then the county would sell it, if we have those liens, then we would get our money back, right?
One way or another, I can't answer that procedurally exactly because I haven't looked at those statutes, but I'm sure. I mean, if it's a foreclosure sale and there are liens on the property, then they're going to disperse the proceeds in accordance with those. But I don't recall exactly at the moment is the applicable statutes specify the priority status of those of our liens, and I just don't recall exactly what it is. It's pretty high.
Yeah.
Delinquent
sure
taxes.
Yeah,
doing,
I was
yeah.
going to say taxes probably supersedes.
Yeah.
Taxes are first, and I think local governments.
Yeah.
John, there's not been water or electricity in this place for how long?
Oh,
3 years? 5 years.
I believe their outstanding balance is $8,836.
Gentlemen, I agree with John. We need to sign that resolution, clean that place up. It's a hazard and liability as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I totally agree.
So I'd also like to request a budget amendment for next month for $5,000 to handle these costs until next budget year.
Is that, you feel like that's me?
I think so.
Okay, gentlemen, I'll accept a motion one way or the other.
What's the motion for?
The motion is to accept the resolution and to, or don't we need to do that?
We need two. We need one for John's memo on the $5,000 budget amendment.
I would first entertain a motion to adopt the proposed ordinance for this matter, and then you can come back and adopt a motion to for John's budgetary reasons. Okay. But you've got to propose the minimum housing code allows us at this point, mm-hmm. having jumped through all procedural hoops and attempted to contact the owner and resorting to publication because we couldn't, mm-hmm. it allows us to do the things that building inspections wants to do. However, that can only occur through the adoption of an ordinance that is then recorded in the registry of deeds, and you have that ordinance in front of you. So that first motion needs to be to adopt the proposed ordinance.
So we've got the ordinance, then we have the resolution, and then we have the budget.
There's no resolution. Well,
John provided a resolution.
I'm not sure what you mean by resolution. The ordinance allows you to clean up everything, then it's a budget amendment.
Okay. All right. We'll do it. We'll do it as the attorney suggests or directs. So
we don't have to read this. We can adopt it by reference.
Yes.
Okay. Let's get to that.
If you want to scroll, can we scroll down to the ordinance part? Can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Let's see, come on back down. Oh, that's not touchscreen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. If you could, section one a little higher up. So if you see section two, building inspectors hereby authorized to post on the dwelling a placard regarding unfit for human habitation. Section six, considering the owner's failure to bring the dwelling into compliance with the minimum housing code and abate the public health nuisances on the property, the building inspector is hereby authorized to vacate and close the dwelling and abate said public health nuisances. The cost shall be a lien on the property. And John and I will work on getting those costs recorded as a lien. And that's the key parts. That's what speaks to what John wants to do.
Okay. Did you look through this then, Jim? Counselor?
I'm sorry.
Have you looked through this?
The ordinance?
Yes.
I drafted it.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right then. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I'll make a motion to approve the ordinance directing the building inspector to vacate and close the dwelling at 205 Alabama Avenue as being unfit for human habitation and to post a notice thereon prohibiting use or occupancy of the dwelling. And we'll adopt the rest of it as presented.
Second.
Okay. Any other questions for John? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Well, very let's give them the money now to do it. You're going to need a motion for the...
Make a motion for a $5,000 budget amendment for John to proceed forward with the cleanup of the property.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Let us know how that goes, John, please.
I'll actually have that budget amendment as for the December meeting put on
your
consent.
You put on consent then? Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead and identify the revenue source for it yet.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Finance Department. Arlen, want to take a victory lap? Fire Department.
Go update, sir.
Okay.
Real quick with the fire department.
Lifeguard check.
Oh, yeah. Inspector Batson moved forward, and Mr. Everett as well, with the lifeguard shack application through Canvas, so it was approved. I appreciate all the hard work, John, with that, Mr. Everett as well. The next step, I met with John today, and it seems the next step will be getting with an engineer, and then from there, of course, figuring out whether or not we want to use a contractor or do it in-house. We'll have to take a look at what the engineer draws up. John did state that we will need to get some professional services down to put the pylons in, of course. We'll take a look at how extensive it will be. So I guess at this point, we not really sure as far as the engineer, if I need a motion to move forward with an engineer. I know council was involved with the emails. I'll kind of leave it at that, I guess. Mr. Hunter, would you like to say something on that?
Sure, absolutely. Couple of things. One, we did get the variance from CRC on unanimous motion, and the proceeding could not have gone more smoothly. It was really, very impressed with how strong our application was. And it wouldn't have been that strong an application without Mr. Batson and Chief Kennedy's contributions. They were there when we needed them. They gave me the information we needed to make it all the legalese that had to go into it. The only other comment I would make, based on a consent agenda item that you all passed, I believe, last month, legal is playing a more significant role in reviewing contracts. And I believe Chief Kennedy mentioned about three different contracts that may come out of this lifeguard shack improvement, engineers, architect, and whatever, pile driving, whatever. Those are contracts I definitely want to look at from the get-go. More importantly, you may have some procurement requirements, but again, if it's architect and engineer, we'll exempt them just like we did a few minutes ago. So just keep me in the loop during these contract situations. You may want to get some informal quotes from an engineer, from an architect. Let me see those. Tell me what you want to go with, and I'll do a resolution exempting them from any books, but bottom line is let me be involved on those contracts in the beginning. But thanks again for your help.
We will have you involved in those, Counselor. I guess you and John will be going and working with Arlen, and Arlen will make sure the attorney's engaged.
Can we legally build that building ourselves?
I'm going to do a little research into that. I think we probably could.
I don't know of any limitation against that.
Okay.
I'm going to have Carolina Beach come in and do the inspections on it for me, just so there's body looking at it. But I think right now, Ed's just looking for direction to know which way to go, and do you want him to head it up, or do you want somebody else to head it up? Now we got what we asked for, now we got to set it up.
Yeah. Well, take a look, come back with your recommendations.
We've got a little bit of time. The CRC's attorney is out of town for a while in Ireland, actually, and we won't get the written decision granting the variance, which then gets delivered to ILM LPO for the minor permit.
New Wilmington District will write the permit.
So we've got a little bit of time.
Okay. Anything else said?
No, sir. I think at this point, like you said, maybe look into some informal quotes from engineers and kind of see where we're at. And I'll keep council as updated as possible throughout the entire process as well. And just moving forward. So once again, I appreciate that, John and Mr. Eldridge, for really spearheading that up and making it happen. So
it was truly a team effort involving Chief Kennedy and Mr. Batson as well.
Good. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Police Department. Chief Mike.
No updates, sir.
No updates? Public Works.
No
Department
updates.
Head Jimmy.
My
No news?
If you guys have any questions for me.
I know you're working on a few plans.
Yes.
So we'll be looking at those later. Nikki, Recreation Department?
No additional items tonight, sir.
Okay. All right, moving on to old business. Discussion of the proposed text amendments from Building Inspection Department and the Police Department as requested from the May 2021 Town Council meeting.
I'll be glad to take that, Mayor.
Okay.
Without checking ahead of time with the police chief or the building inspector. The reason I wanted to take it is the chief has presented some proposed, as was expected, building inspections in the police department have looked at the code and have turned in or submitted reports regarding proposed changes to the code. That's the first point, so that part is done. The second point I would make, you may recall that I mentioned this very informally, I believe, last month. The General Assembly has passed a session law that, in effect, decriminalizes or prohibits the criminal enforcement of local ordinances to a large degree, not completely, but to a large degree. It leaves traffic infractions alone, it leaves criminal acts alone. But there's a long list of development regulations that our code makes provision for criminal enforcement, even though we don't do that. Which are now prohibited under this session law. The reason I say that is we're going to have to comb the code one more time to find those references to criminal enforcement of provisions that can no longer be criminally enforced and text amend the code for that consistency. Third point I would make, and I've been delayed on this. 2 years ago, Arlen noted that there were differences in the fees established with the annual budget ordinances versus the civil penalties set forth in the code. So what needs to be done there is to come up with a text amendment to delete specific references in the code and come up instead with a text amendment fitted in somewhere that makes the civil penalties consistent with the fees set forth in the fee schedule that you pass with the budget ordinance. And indeed, we probably need to add some things to that. So if you take those three things together, the proposed changes from the police department and building inspections, the need to comb the code comply with the prohibition against criminal enforcement, and the need to do the civil citation text amendments, that's what I'll be working on in December and January and bringing all that to you. So you're welcome to have a specific discussion about what Chief Bowden and Building Inspector Batson have proposed, but from my standpoint, I'll be referring to those things as I tackle this next comprehensive review of the code for the three items that I briefly mentioned.
Okay. I was actually going to request that you take a look at these. We're getting used to looking at them in the previous language, new language, redlined, so that we have a complete understanding of
sure.
the changes.
It's going to be not as bad, but a lot right. like what we did with 160D.
Right. And that's exactly
installments, and you'll get yeah. the current versus the proposed.
So I was going to say it's a little premature for us to go into detail because we can't tell all the detail on the memos.
And again, there's bound to be some changes that, in the course of my production of that project, that I'll bring back to. Of course, a lot of it's going to have to go through PCC first.
Right.
But in the course of presenting it to BZC and council, I'm sure that some of the proposed changes will lead to questions where I'll need a consensus or instruction from council on
okay.
provision.
All right. So we'll look at this again when you're ready to bring it forward.
That would be that's how I would proceed.
Okay. All right. Okay, that takes us through the all the new business. Mayor updates. We're going to have, well, actually, I wanted to bring up the volunteer appreciation. We have not had a volunteer appreciation event in, 6 years. And our volunteers have brought us $360,000 for bike ped. Volunteers on a parking committee have contributed $540,000 net to what we have going. Our friends on the beach committee have things signed up for people who come onto the beach and clean up for free because they view it as their civic duty. We've got a list that goes on and on and on. And I would like to, we have estimates, and I would like to have approval from council that we go ahead with a volunteer appreciation event in February.
I'll make a motion that we have an event in the month of February 2022 to recognize and have an appreciation for our volunteers to the team.
Okay. Have second. A motion.
Second.
Any comments?
No, I think it needs to be done.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So that will be for individuals who are current helpers and volunteers in our committees. Spend a lot of time. They spend a lot of their effort. And they get no remuneration, actually. This is going to be our way to say thank you to them and their wives. Or maybe their wives and their husbands, one way or the other, right? The other update that I was going to talk about is green space. We've taken a look at some green space opportunities, and we're trying to put together a proposal for council to look at and for the community to look at as we think about the items that came across on the input from the town survey that was part of the land use committee, and what we should do with some of the available space. We've had the discussion in council. We're not going to grow. We need to use the space we have to the best result. That's a planning and zoning issue and a council issue and a public issue. So we will, we're moving forward on that. And we're moving forward on a digital town sign to bring forth a recommendation to council, something that will tell people potentially that riptides are running, current temperature, parking's in force, things like that. In any case, those are a couple of the other things that staff is working on, which we will bring to the general public for edification once the council reviews it. Any commissioner items? How about you, John? You have any?
I have one. Just late this afternoon, I got an email from Mr. Klosowski, who's the executive for the WMPO.
Yes.
It's a one-page note on the impact to North Carolina from the new infrastructure bill. I will forward that to the rest of the council. I have read through it. It is just four big paragraphs, one on highways, right. One on bridges, one on multi-mode transportation, right. For instance, airports, ferries, rail traffic. There's nothing that we can do right now except be aware of it and start thinking. The opening paragraph deals with it will help some of the things currently on the prioritized list not move around, but get funded quicker without delay. In other words, the money that's already there, we can go ahead and start pushing that through as the new money comes in behind it from the infrastructure bill.
Okay, good. Joseph?
None for me.
Alan?
No, I'll talk for that.
Okay. I do not believe we have a closed session this evening. Therefore, I would accept
any
motion to adjourn.
Regarding, just reiterate the meeting on in December, we moved up a week to the 13th.
Yes, it's moved to the 13th.
Right.
Yes.
And yeah, we did swear in the new. Or
that's
the,
right.
The old.
We're swearing the new old guys. Okay. Yeah. So.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.